Well, thank you for all being here. Before we introduce ourselves, we got to say that this is a project that we believe is the future of where identity is going. The ability for an organization to connect with any other system on the planet, customers and partners, and bring them all together in a secure and usable way, this is the wave of the future. My name is Sarat Subramaniam, and let me introduce Jose as well.
Hi, my name is Jose Rojas, Program Manager.
We both work on the Azure Active Directory team. I'm responsible for business-to-business collaboration and cross-organizational collaboration and connecting with their supply chain. And Jose is responsible for the customer connections that you want to make in your app. Before we get started, how many of you are familiar with Azure Active Directory? Great. How many of you are familiar with Azure Active Directory B2C? Perfect. How many of you have used Azure Active Directory B2B collaboration? How many of you are confused about the relationship between the two? So you're all in the right spot. So let's get started. See, the goal that we have in front of us in a connected economy is any organization has the requirement to connect with customers and partners alike. It does not matter which industry vertical the organization belongs to. This is the fundamental hypothesis, that whether you are in the insurance industry, finance industry, hospitality, entertainment, manufacturing, retail, whatever the industry may be, in order to be successful in today's economy, you need to have a digital presence that is accessible to all your customers, individual and enterprise customers. And you need to have the ability to connect across your supply chain and enable collaborative, productive relationships that help you do your job better. Do you all agree with that fundamental hypothesis? Excellent. What we are finding is that there aren't enough solutions out there that do a good job in bringing all of this together without having to stitch together best-of-breed solutions across the board. This creates manageability nightmare, increases cost of ownership. The goal for Azure Active Directory is to provide a solution, a single solution, that can be applied across the partner and customer ecosystem. Does that sound like a noble goal, a good goal? So today we're going to talk about where are we with respect to that goal, how can you be successful doing that, and where are we going in the future? That's the goal of our talk today. So in specific, we are going to talk about just a very simple R with you. The first part is going to be demonstrating a solution that shows that you can tie together customer experiences across individual customers and enterprise customers and connect with your partners in your supply chain that help make your product better so that you can then turn around and sell it to customers. That's the first part of the presentation. And we're going to talk to you about how we achieved it and how you can go back today and achieve the same thing for your customers. And the second part of it is going to be an insight into where the business is going, what are the things that you're doing to improve what you saw today, and then we'll break for questions. Does that sound good? All right, so let me ask you again, are you all excited to be in this presentation?
Yes.
All right, great. Let's get started. So the first part is that comprehensive story, the story that helps you connect customers and partners alike. And for this, we're going to take an example, a fictitious example of a retail chain. It's called Woodgrove Groceries, right? It's a multinational, global chain, a retail chain, that connects with customers, individual, like you and me, who can go and shop groceries for our home, and also connects and supplies groceries to organization, enterprises. Within the enterprise, you've got two roles, two kinds of people that interact with that application that Woodgrove has put together. Role one is that person who, for example, at Microsoft is responsible for the fiscal budget, the annual budget of the groceries that are bought in Microsoft. So this guy decides what to buy and when to buy it and what to try and what to reject. And so based on the budget, this person interacts with this grocery chain's application and then chooses the products that he or she wants to make available. And then there's a second role within a company like Microsoft, the person who's actually responsible to keep the pantry and the kitchen stocks up to date. So this person chooses from the groceries that have been pre-selected for that person in the application and is able to sell, buy them. So the individual customer like you and me and enterprises that are able to connect to the grocery chain. That's part one of the story. Part two of the story is, how does Woodgrove get the groceries in that geography, in that locale, that it makes available to their customers? There are farmers, distributors, suppliers, logistics companies. All of these people are responsible for supplying Woodgrove with the material that they are then turning around and selling to their customers. We want to show you how this whole thing can work in an application. This is closely related with other retail scenarios, like, for example, cars. A car manufacturer connects with enterprises who buy fleets, connects with individual customers like you and me, works with manufacturers, dealers, distributors, and the rest of their supply chain to actually source the materials and the cars that then they make available. Does this make sense? How many of you have seen or have customers who have a scenario that involves connecting all of these things together and offer a common solution for your customers and partners? Great. So today we're going to see an example of how this comes together. So we're going to do this in two parts. We are first going to talk about the customer story across the individual enterprise customers. And then we'll talk about the partner, the supply chain story, on how to make these products available for the customers. So Jose, would you take it over from here?
Thank you very much for that, Thread, and thanks for the introduction. So for part one, how do we help organizations connect with customers? Our service, to be able to achieve this, is B2C. And I'll stress on the word customer because I think it sometimes helps to draw a distinction here. We consider an individual that shows up to buy things in your company, obviously a customer, but so is the enterprise customer that comes and purchases perhaps in bulk. Perhaps in my particular example, as I'll talk to briefly, these are enterprises, large enterprises that buy from you and therefore also need to be able to access. These experiences are typically experiences that are branded. These experiences should not, ought not, look at all like Microsoft. Should look entirely like that car manufacturer, like that grocery store. We know experience matters. It is our goal in Azure AD in B2C to make sure those experiences shine the way your, and I say when I say yours, your customers expect all experiences to shine. So number one, we say, how do we bring the infrastructure of Active Directory, the infrastructure of Office that we've been working for so long, both in terms of the capacity, the performance, and the security, to be white labeled and available to customers globally. So that's the first thing we are attempting to do. Second, we know that customers choose, they say who they want to connect with. No surprise. I like to use Facebook, I like to use Google, I prefer my LinkedIn account, et cetera, et cetera. Not only do they prefer, sometimes they don't even have to think about it, they're already logged on, so the experiences are increasingly seamless. We also have the situation where this customer really is a citizen, right? Really is the person showing up to the DMV website to update their license, the person showing up to the IRS website or the Social Security or retirement website to look up their information with government, and there are government-provided digital identities out there, many in Europe, some in India as well that we work with, less so in the US, I would say, that create one identity to connect with your government and request and provide information as needed. So we provide that as well. And the last two things to consider then is that when you connect to a consumer, it is important that in the context of that application, you gather application, and I said consumer, it could be customer, you gather application-specific information. So in your mind, separate the source of identity, I choose to log in with Facebook, one, and two, the data that is relevant to your company, right? Whether what role you have, specific data that you that the customer or the consumer provided to you, perhaps a preference, perhaps a loyalty number, maybe it's your shoe size, right? So those are things that you need to keep track of in your application, and we also provide for that. So keep that in mind, that separation, authentication and data about a user, and we do that for every user. And the last thing to keep in mind is that Azure AD B2C is designed for from your perspective, first-party applications. This is for your applications. And as it is designed, it is not for Microsoft. So as it is today, you cannot log in using B2C
using directly into an Office account, right? That is not what it's intended to, and I'm just calling that out as an important distinction. But as you'll see today, we're making a lot of progress in enabling social IDs who can log in for Microsoft, and that's what Sarah's gonna talk about. So great, so Azure AD B2C is a service you get in addition to Azure AD Premium. On the example, we're gonna explore the two personas on the left. So why don't we just go to a demo, and we'll talk about a little bit more as we move into the demo. So what we'll do is we will show you an experience that we've developed, and we will have all the code available to you so you can learn from it and apply it to as you need. So we're back to GoodWorld website. Let's see what an individual customer would see. They would choose to sign in. They would then present it with a branded experience. And notice a couple of things. When we came to here, we went from the application site or the application address into the B2C address. I'm just calling it out because it is important to note that there's a transition between the two, where Microsoft, within our own security boundary, are able to provide a secure experience that we promise credentials will be protected, data will be protected, et cetera. And you can take that to the bank, right? Second, we've also, in this particular experience, showing you a new thing we have, which is the ability to take whatever name of tenant you have, add.b2c login to it, and in a way, kind of get rid of the Microsoft name up there, right? We also have, but currently, unfortunately, still limited, but getting better, the ability to have a custom domain, which is what everybody wants, of course. But we're getting a little closer to that. The other thing that just happened is that a policy was invoked. So when I went from the application to B2C, it said, hey, this is what we're dealing with. This is the signing or sign-up experience for a personal individual. And there's a specific set of settings that have been set up, and I'll show you that later. So here's the consumer. This consumer will choose Google as the method to log in. And in this case, he was instantly SSO'd in. OK? So let's do this. Let's go ahead and log this user out. So you see the experience from a user who is not yet in the directory. And part of what your customers want very much is that ability to have an experience where no login is required, right? So that is exactly what your customers usually want. Let's log this out. And that's really the beauty and the prevalence of social accounts. So let's go again. This is a signing. I'm going to choose sign in, and we'll be somebody else this time. If we choose Google, this time, nope, that's not me. And I'll choose a different Google account. This user has not shown up here before. Okay, so B2C redirected to Google. Google says, hey, choose the account, customer. This is an experience to the customer. An authentication is about to happen on the Google side. Okay, Google is verifying my credentials. Whatever Google's rules apply would kick in. And it all went all the way through back to the application and said, the application now presents, or B2C presents, an experience of sign-up. And this is a very simple sign-up, which pulled back the name of the user from Google, and the user will simply say continue. Whoops, terms and conditions are required. Fine, let's accept that. Yep, read them. There we go. Isn't that what we all do? Great. So now this new first time to the application user has logged in, and the other thing I want to point out is that within this application, we've enabled the ability to edit a profile. No big deal, it isn't. But it's worth noting that this data resides in B2C. So B2C has the data for a particular user. As much as the application wants to rely on B2C to be the storage of that data, to kind of centralize things, especially when you think of things like regulatory requirements, GDPR, having that data in one place so you can export it, you can delete it, you can manage it in one secure place at once becomes increasingly important. So that separation between application and your identity system could provide dividends to you and your customers. Great, so we don't have anything to change here. That data was just updated into the B2C or Azure Active Directory B2C tenant. Great. So that concludes a the experience of a an individual. So let's continue and let's do this. Let me go ahead and log this guy out so we avoid any issues. Great. So now we're going to do a sign in. And for the sign in, let's talk now about the case of a business customer. So one of the companies that work with that buy from, not work with, but buy from Woodward Groceries is F128. F128 has a number of kitchens in their buildings. They buy groceries for their kitchens. And this is just a customer logging in, but they have an enterprise or organizational relationship as a customer, right? When they show up, they prefer to use their federator or their existing identity as an enterprise. And I have another logged in user. Let's get rid of this guy. I want to show you a specific experience with this user. So bear with me for a second. Sometimes this also works entirely too well. Okay, back to the site. Yep, sign in. Business customer shows up. So in this case, I had a choice. I'm going to choose another account. We are choosing to connect here to the common endpoint. So any number of Active Directory tenants would be able to log in through here. Except that with this new feature, you're able to select which ones you are going to allow, anywhere from one to however many. Really, the list has no limit in terms of what are the customers who have established a relationship with you.
Did you already know that B2C supports Azure Active Directory sign-in across any number of tenancies? For how many people find this new information? Excellent. So we're going to talk to you about how F128, the photography organization, has an Azure Active Directory presence already. A growing number of organizations out there have Azure Active Directory presence already, thanks to Office 365 and the growth of Azure. When you have an application that sells across enterprises, it's very important for that application to support Azure Active Directory authentication. And so what you see here is an example of that working, along with the ability to have role-based access control across these relationships.
Excellent. So it found my user through the common endpoint. I'll go ahead and sign in from F128. And I am able to sign into my account. This particular user, again, we're talking as a B2C user using an enterprise account. Again, I am able to edit a profile and store information about this enterprise customer relevant to my application. So the same things apply. And the data that we have was pulled in from the Azure AD relationship at login. Great. But when I see the things that I can buy here, I wish I could have more, right?
That's right.
And my role right now is a stalker. So as a stalker, I am only able to buy the things that my manager, another business customer person, has approved. So Sarah, can you help me out?
Absolutely. Do you want to switch over to my video?
Let's do that.
So my role in this demo is the person who manages the relationship between the F128 organization and Woodgrove. So I'm responsible for making decisions as to what Jose and other stockists within the company can buy. So let me sign in with my account. I have a previous session already with my account. You see that multi-factor authentication can be enabled for these relationships as well. I'm going to choose to skip it for now. And now I see that I see more products available to me than Jose does. So I'm just going to pick bananas and oranges as well so that Jose can buy them for the company. So Jose, do you want to see
great.
If he shows up?
So let me refresh. So great. Now that as he added some additional items and you flipped over, he has some additional items, my catalog expanded. And basically, what we want to stress is the ability from an application to keep that data, keep role-based data, and your new application, trusting B2C for that, is able to then show different experiences to different types of users and different types of roles. Yeah. That's what we want you to keep in mind.
Okay, thanks.
And we'll come back, to how we achieve this. So let's continue on to the next type of relationship.
Oh, excellent. Right. So let's switch over to the presentation. And you want to walk through?
Perfect. Yep. And what I'll do is I'll just come back to these topics a little later. Go ahead.
Perfect. So these products were available to the Woodgrove application. Jose was able to sign in as an individual customer and get a set of products there, and as well as an enterprise customer with role-based controls as to who can see which part of the application. But now let's take a look at what do you do when you want to actually produce the things that Woodgrove then turns around and sells. How many of you feel that Azure Active Directory B2B can be used for something like this? So a quick introduction of what we're doing with Azure Active Directory. Our goal is that if an organization has an Azure Active Directory presence themselves, and that could be because they have Office 365 or Azure or any presence in the Microsoft ecosystem, we want such organizations to be able to work across any organization on the planet, whether that organization is using Azure Active Directory themselves or not, whether the application that they want to provide to their partners is an on-prem application or a cloud application, a Microsoft application or a non-Microsoft application, it doesn't matter. We are trying to enable bring your own identity scenarios where somebody can sign in with whatever identity they have without having to sign up for a new one, access your systems, work with you in order to deliver the kind of value that we want from them in order to be successful with your customers. And all this while expanding the security promise that Azure Active Directory has. So in this example, we're going to show the case where a small farmer is able to sign into Woodgrove. Woodgrove has expanded into the fresh produce market. So they've made a small shelf or a small section of their grocery chain or their product chain available to these local farmers. So this farmer has won the bid to be able to supply fresh produce to Woodgrove, and now he's going to sign up for access into Woodgrove and then produce that and add to the inventory. So let's take a look.
Switch over.
So I'm a partner. I see exactly the same front end of the application. I click on sign up. I see that I'd go here if I'm an individual customer to buy or a business customer, but in this case, I'm a partner. I don't yet have a supplier account with Woodgrove, so I'm just going to sign up to be a Woodgrove supplier. Woodgrove has enabled an ability for me to self-service participation within their organization. So no individual needs to actually reach out and invite me themselves. In this case, I'm going to use a consumer identity because I'm a small farmer. I need access to add to the Woodgrove inventory. Now, I try to request access, but I must read the terms of service before I do so. So now, I have requested for sign up to Woodgrove inventory management resources. Somebody from the Woodgrove organization must now approve my access to Woodgrove resources. What just happened was a partner requested for access into your Azure Active Directory organization and now needs to be provided access to specific resources that they need to have access to. So, Jose, do you want to approve my access?
I will. So I'm going to the same application. I'm going to an admin sign-in. And I am an admin. I am an employee of Woodgrove. I'm logging in as from this user perspective. And we'll come back to this user a little later because this user can do lots of things. Great, so I'm logging into application. I am an employee. The application allows me now to approve this request. And upon creation, we now have a new user in the tenant, specifically in the Azure AD tenant that is a partner. So this farmer with a Google account has just joined our organization.
Exactly, thank you. So let's switch over to the farmer's view of the world. So I get a notification in my Gmail inbox saying Woodgrove has invited me to access some of their applications. Right here, I click on Get Started. And the first thing you'll notice is that we skip through the Azure Active Directory sign-in pages and directly land you on the Google sign-in experience. So no longer do you need to have a Microsoft account or an Azure Active Directory sign-in account in order to access an Azure Active Directory tenancy. Is that cool? All right, so we are going to now show direct federation with the Google service. I'm already signed in. Aha. So let's try that again. That was just to show that this whole thing is very real.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's try this again. So what just happened was I am a B2B invitee. The invitation was generated on demand because I requested for access. Somebody approved it. That sent a notification to me. And when I clicked on it, the first thing that happened was that the system asked me for consenting to some certain pieces of information to be released to Woodgrove. All of this is happening in Azure Active Directory. I expressed my consent to this. And the next thing that happens is I'm going to be taken to a profile page to supplement some of the information. Looks like I'm sharing cookies with something. Excellent. So let's try this one more time. What you saw was an Azure Active Directory sign-in page that knows to redirect me to Google for federation. And as I come back in, I'm now dropped. I already consented at the first, the first time that I accessed Woodgrove, so I don't need to do the consent experience, go through the consent experience anymore. I'm going to create a lightweight profile for me within the tenancy. And this information is going to be stored within Azure Active Directory. As attributes of the user within Azure Active Directory. These attributes can then be used for other authorization decisions that you want to make within the application. Now, at this point of time, I'm landed on the inventory management application, and I'm going to add whatever I have to sell to the catalog. Let me put in a little picture as well.
So the application recognizing the user says, well, this user has not yet built a catalog. We do not yet know what this particular user is willing to sell and offer into the pantry.
I'd be super impressed if this works the first time. There it is.
There you go. Turns out you're a dairy farmer.
Okay, we've worked pretty hard to get this space. So can we have a round of a little something? Thank you. So what you just saw was a partner self-service their sign up. being approved by somebody, a customer manager within Woodgrove, being able to access the application, the inventory management application that is sitting in Azure Active Directory through exactly the same window as the customers used, and then add something. Now, this inventory needs to show up for the customers as they are then buying it. Jose, do you want to show that?
You bet.
So swap over. So now if I am, let's go back to the individual customer we created earlier, and we want to sign in with Google, and I want to see what's new and available for me. And there it is, I can buy milk now. So it's interesting how who you are and what you represent could matter so much in any number of business applications. We're trying to make that simpler. We're trying to make that consistent for you and for those you work for.
Great. So now let's consider the scenario where somebody, the customer manager of Woodgrove, then needs to reach out to the farmer and then tell them how their product has been doing, so that the farmer can get some feedback about whether the milk quality was good, whether I should add more products. Is this business model even working for me? So Jose, do you want me to show something about that?
Let's do that.
Of the key things about what we are doing with Azure Active Directory is every new authentication mechanism that we're introducing, and in this case, Google Federation, is now going to work across the entire ecosystem of applications that Azure Active Directory supports. And some of those applications are Office 365 applications. And so if you've got Woodgrove using Office 365, Teams, SharePoint, et cetera, the same exact authentication mechanism would work for these users to be single signed on into those applications as well. So let's take a look at a little private preview of how something like this would work in SharePoint.
So I am, again, an employee of Woodgrove. I'm going to SharePoint, and I want to share something specific with this farmer. I'm going to select this farmer's dashboard specifically. I want to share it. Let's choose a specific person. Apply. And we're going to now include that farmer. Okay, there he is, found in our joint directory. And we sent.
Excellent.
Swap you over.
Thank you.
Sure.
So we'll wait for that notification to swing by from SharePoint that the sharing action has been performed.
You seeing it?
Not yet.
Okay. Let's try it again.
You could IM me though.
Let's do this. Perfect.
So, what I could do is choose a specific people, apply, and then choose the user. Right? And then copy the link, and then put that in IM so I can get it.
You bet.
Signed into Skype.
Okay. So instead of waiting for the email to arrive, just go straight to the LinkedIn.
Ah, good. So I'm just pinging you so you can just copy into that window.
Okay, here you go. Give that a shot.
Excellent. So I'm going to click on. This is
going to copy this, go back to my browser. So this is a SharePoint URL. And as I access that SharePoint URL, you notice that I'm being redirected through Azure Active Directory to Google, single signed on with my Google credentials, and I land on that dashboard that was shared. So you can imagine the power of federating with any identity on the planet through Azure Active Directory. Then it starts working with every application that matters to you, whether it be a custom application that you built for B2C or an Office 365 application that was built for collaborating with your supply chain.
Excellent.
Great. So next, we're going to talk a little bit about how some of this can be done by you, if you want to switch over to the presentation
mode. Excellent. Switch over to this.
So what we just saw was the ability for an organization such as Woodgrove, a retailer that needs to work across consumers that are individual consumers or organizational consumers and has a supply chain that consists of large and small companies. Some of them have Azure Active Directory and some of them don't, and yet build a single front end for all of these users to access Woodgrove resources and get the value of what they want. Did you like what you saw?
Okay.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about how some of this was put together for today's demo and what you can do when you go back. And then we'll dive into some specific details.
Excellent. Thank you, Sarah. So we have the architecture is at its core is one that says, I have customers over here, and they cannot see each other. They will access the applications that I create, and that would be on the left side. On the right side, you have those customers with whom either they're employees or not really customers. These are your collaborators, your partners. So from the lower left, we have the setting into B2C of individual customers, and I'll talk you through that very briefly. The settings of how we have federated into the B2C tenant. Not only is it possible with an Azure Active Directory employee directory, but it also with any SAML or OpenID provider into B2C. And as we continue to the right, we then have the situation where we want to bring in collaborators from an Azure AD tenant, and soon in any other from any other type of, as long as it's any tenant with supporting SAML or OpenID Connect. And very, very cool, I think, what Sarat showed about logging in with a Google Federator account and other identity providers to be supported. Core at the very bottom is the mention of this can be deployed as two separate applications. It can be deployed as one application. And I want to tell you that the demo that we showed is coded so that there's a middleware that contains the connection to both Azure AD B2C for the customers and Azure AD straight up, right, for the on the right side for the partners. This middleware is managing the different kinds of tokens that it needs to consume, but there are ways to do this with one token as well, and we can refer to that. So let me show you a little bit of how the configuration happens from the individual customers first. So what I'll do, let's go back to that master user we've been talking about, who is Jose at woodgrove.com. So Jose at woodgroveonline.com. And let's go here to Azure. So a concept that that I hope I can land with you guys today is that an employee Grove and an employee of woodgroveonline.com in this particular case is the administrator of the Woodgrove tenant and also of the B2C tenant, right? So that it is one user that across the Woodgrove B2C tenant. And if I were to switch directories, the Woodgrove B2C directory and the Woodgrove Online directory, let's call it the Azure AD Premium directory and the B2C directory, he is able to navigate both, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be the same person, but I want to drive the point that admins in this tenant can control this tenant, and that's something we actually recommend you do, so you centralize the administration. Beyond that, I thought it would be worthwhile to show you just a little bit of how this particular experience came to be. If we just drive right here, again, we're in the B2C tenant. And a couple quick things. We have configured as identity providers a local account, that's why you could sign up with any email, a Google account, Microsoft account, and we have the ability to use to add any custom OpenID provider into right into the experience in the portal, and that's pretty much brand new, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So by adding, you should have the ability to have multiple types of providers. So this is our current list, and you can choose OpenID Connect. We won't spend too much time on that, but I'd love you guys to check it out, and the documents are also online. Beyond that, a second core concept of B2C is the concept of a policy. Each experience that B2C provides to the customers is encapsulated in a particular policy. So let's look at the one we specifically use today, which is the sign-up, signing personal. That's why I pointed out to that name earlier. And we'll just choose to edit it, and a couple things will pop up. Number one, here's what I would have selected, and indeed I selected Microsoft account, Google, and email, or local account. So you saw that. Second, I'm going to select what do I want to ask this customer when they first log in, or they first sign up, I should say. In this case, I want to get terms and conditions, or terms of service, and I want to get display name, and really that's all I asked for. That was sufficient for me at the time. Now, what does the application want to receive back in the token from B2C as part of the authentication? And here comes the list where what is it the application needs to know to continue the operation? And you can say here that both the object ID, indication if user is new, and a couple other things as well that were included. We go down the line, a couple of things to mention. I could have turned on MFA. UI customization, I just want to show something very briefly. And that is that when we go to each one of the pages, in this case the unified sign-up or sign-in page, the content that is shown by B2C, remember it's inside our own or Microsoft's security perimeter, is really the content that's a blend of HTML content, right? This is the HTML content that you as a developer provided, and this could be anywhere, right? And this HTML content, HTML, CSS, and very soon JavaScript, is blended together by B2C at runtime to create the experience that you saw that it fills in the blanks in the right format, in the right font, in the right language. Then lastly, I just wanted to point out the ability to, beyond customization of the page, a couple of things we've done fairly recently, the ability to set up your own password complexity, either stronger or simpler than we have it, down to pins if that's what you desire. And lastly, language customization. We're pretty proud of this. We just GA'd this this week, and we have the ability to present the experience in 36 languages, plus the ability for you to add an additional or any number of additional languages that make sense to you. And if you recall, we showed English, or at least the options, and I did not show them, I'll come back to that, were English, Espanol, and French. So it is through this experience that entirely that we set up the experience of Woodgrove earlier, and through which I want to point something out very quickly. Let's go back to the presentation. And through which these choices, let me just go back very quickly back to this. I want to point this out to you. You're able, and I encourage you to see it yourself, the URL is available, able to see experiences in different languages. From a perspective of the developer, these languages were just clicked on and they occurred. Okay, and that's important to keep in mind. Couple other things that you're able that we showed, and I wanted to call out. So, a capability we're now having public preview is the ability for you to do progressive data collection with users. Specifically, in this example, during a sign up, as we showed with the Woodgrove B2C tenancy, there's the first selection of what you want to use to sign up, but second is a series of questions, right? In that series of questions, a number of things are possible. So typically in a sign-up, you want to be as brief as possible and go back and get more information later. But some things you absolutely need. Terms of use, and lately, particularly for GDPR, you must collect date of birth and country, figure out whether this is a minor. So now we've added the ability to then have the logic to A, detect which of these attributes are mandatory versus not, but second, also have logic based on what the response is. And that's where we overlaid our answer to how do you block minors if that's what you choose. In this case, if it's a minor, you can choose to block the minor and present a new type of error page that says you do not qualify or whatever you want to say you cannot proceed. But there's another option. Instead of blocking, we can also go back to the application and present a JSON token that will just contain, I don't should say token, it's just a JSON, that would contain the parameters the user provided, right? The date of birth, the country, the email, without a login, right? And without creating a user, so that the application can pick up that experience and then provide a parental consent experience, or perhaps provide an experience that is okay, that it's okay for minors, but not for adults, if that should be the choice. So that is supported both in terms of what you ask and as well in terms of that logic you can add subsequent to that in B2C. The second thing, very related, is that perhaps the next time they come in, you want to ask another question, and next time another question. So you can progressively build up a profile. And in this particular example, the logic would be, hey, have we collected the phone number of this user in the past? If not, then present a screen that would say, could we have your phone number to contact you to serve you better, et cetera. The customer could decide not to and skip it. But then the other check that happens now on every sign-in is to check whether the terms of use acceptance is current. So we can either by version or by date identify if they have accepted indeed to the latest terms and conditions, record that in an auditable way into the directory, and present the experience that is appropriate. And that's what we have in the current version that I encourage you to take a look at. Beyond that, let me flip back to this. And I want to point out just one more thing. Great. So while the experience to set up all the individual customer that experience I showed you was set up through this portal, there's another entry point, and I'll just want to point it out so you guys can go take a look at. We also have the ability in B2C to do very, very customized user journeys. These user journeys are accessed through this identity experience framework entry point. I encourage you to go take a look. This is where the majority of the flexibility in building journeys, journeys that interact with other systems, journeys that simultaneously create users in other systems, sometimes journeys that have just-in-time migration, when you want to move users as they log in from one platform to the other. Perhaps sometimes when a user logs in, they provide information that you want to verify in an existing system, say, for example, an account number to see if the customer exists, a patient number, or some other qualifier that your systems have, and B2C can call an API in your systems, do comparisons, perform logic, and proceed in the completion of a user journey. So a lot of things are possible, and people are using Azure Functions to achieve it. So with that, let me just go back to the drawing of the architecture for Sarat to tell you about the other part. So I'll go ahead and set up the page for you, Sarat.
So what we saw was the ability to connect two different directories, the Azure Active Directory on the right and the B2C directory on the left together. There are some pretty big advantages of doing something like this. First is you get a bit of isolation between the customers that your application is reaching out to and the partners in your supply chain. So typically, when you're connecting with your partners, the administrator of your organization would be responsible for the lifecycle management. There's probably a contract that you create for these partners to sign up. And there's probably a duration of that relationship. You probably have a need to have those partners access corporate resources that you want to have tight control over that are not exposed to the customer directory. So the ability to have these two independent things, with independent lifecycle management versus self-service lifecycle management on the other side, is super powerful. On the right-hand side, this is just a plain old Azure Active Directory. This is what Woodgrove uses for their employees as well. This is what enables an employee to then reach out to partners and approve their access to Office 365 resources, for example. All of the things that you saw, including Google Federation, including the self-service sign-up, all of these things just work naturally from that directory. And our goal is for that directory to be able to connect to any identity system on the planet. And that's what we are working towards. So when you saw Google Federation, you'll see that today. We are previewing it, we are doing internal testing, and then we'll be announcing when it reaches public preview so you can all try it out. But we'll be not stopping there. We'll be working with any other identity system on the planet, because all organizations have partners that are in multiple buckets. Some of them have Azure Active Directory. Some of them have only on-prem systems. Some of them have social identities like the small farmer. Our goal is to enable all of these people to get their identities to work in Azure Active Directory and access all the applications that you need to have access to. So this is that one single-stop solution that enables you to connect securely across your entire supply chain. And then with this ability to connect your customer directory to it, it just expands the world of possibilities. So this is a pattern that you should go and try out and let us know your feedback as to how that works.
I want to call out a couple things on this drone before we move on. And they are that from your application perspective, let's see if this will show up. No, indeed it doesn't. Today, we did issue two different kinds of tokens. Let's just admit that right now. All right. So the token issued by B2C, it's slightly different to your application than the token issued by AD. But part of our premise is that no matter how the authentication occurs, we provide a consistent token, both on the left and on the right. So for now, yes, you might need to code to two different kinds of tokens. But it is our goal, and to do probably in the next year, to consolidate that so that you have one endpoint. And that's probably something, who wouldn't like that? One endpoint for all the situations, right? One type of token, one consistent, but we're down to two, and we'll get better. So however, all these federations and the reason I'm particularly so excited on the right-hand side with the Google Tap user, and we will continue adding to that, is that they can access any of the Office applications with all the power that brings forward.
Thank you. So now let's get into a little bit more detail. So I'll have Jose walk through the developer toolkit in the B2C space and the advances there that you can go back and try out today and put some of this in place. So everything that you saw was something that we put together in about a week's time. It's not a lot of work. And so if you've got customers that are in this bucket, you should know, walking out of this, that you can do the same. If we can do it, you can probably do it better.
Sure,
so that's the message that we want to leave you with. But let's talk about a little bit more of the internals of how some of this could be
Thanks
done.
For that, right. So a couple things we want to highlight for developer improvements. From the very top, access tokens and B2C has now moved to GA. Access tokens, to be specific, allow you to secure your resources down to the scope of any scope that you defined and down to the user level. It is a feature we don't probably talk about often enough, but for those of you who need to secure APIs down to the user level, you know how valuable that is. Second, the shipping of programmatic APIs. And app registration is a little delayed. I apologize for that. It's currently not even in private preview yet. But policy CRUD, that is the ability to upload, download, basically CRUD, right? Any B2C policy programmatically, particularly useful when you want to integrate it with the development environment that you're using, is something that we currently have in public preview. And I'll be glad to help you out and get into that. And lastly, the CRUD of social accounts, which is that if you currently have users that log in with social accounts in your application or some other identity system, it is possible to migrate them completely into our system so the user never sees a change in the experience, at least not a login. Richer audit data. Is speaking to the ability now to see any kind of activity that you perform in the B2C tenant from the admin side as well as the user side. Any attempt to put in a phone number, even those that failed, any attempt to put in an email, even those that failed, any type of login, any time a user interacts with your system, that data is now an audit for you to download and obviously use. Be very careful with, no doubt. And the last two things, really, we're pretty proud with the integration we've done with Application Insights. We invite you to just Google B2C Application Insights and see all the things that we've added to that, which is basically the ability for you to, any step of a journey, anytime a user moves from one screen to the other in a journey of authentication or sign up or profile editor or anything else, you're able to send an event to Application Insights to meld with the events of your application to create a full flow of what happened to each user and for purposes of improvement, for purposes of just really monitoring your solution. We now have over 110 different documents in docs.azure.com. We know we need a few more, maybe more than a few more, but I think we've made a lot of progress, and we hope that you can take advantage of it. A new course was released only 2 days ago for B2C. It's an eight lesson course that takes you from I know nothing to you can do what we just showed, and then quite a bit more. few highlights for you. This is not new, but something where we don't talk about often enough. In Visual Studio, when you create a new project, you are indeed able to choose B2C as your authentication authentication method, right? So that this is not a third from what we had before. And we encourage you to use it and get started through Visual Studio. Second, Azure API Management Services leverages our ability to send access tokens. So within API Management Services, a service I've come to actually appreciate quite a bit, you can use Azure Active Directory out of the box. And lastly, we'll pass it on to for B2B.
Thank you, Jose. So Jose talked about all the customization that you can do when you're building your application against the Azure AD B2C directory. One of the big advantages of Azure Active Directory B2B collaboration is if you know how to work with Azure Active Directory, you know how to work with Azure AD B2B. The developer tools are the same. The use of Graph API is the same. We are enhancing it with B2B knowledge. The user object present in the directory is the same as a regular user with a few extra attributes. So if you have experience working with Azure Active Directory, it's almost an automatic progression to B2B. You have to have an appreciation of the scenarios that you're trying to enable and the policies that you want to enable, but the developer toolkit is essentially the same. We have introduced as part of B2B an invitation manager and expose these APIs into the Graph API surface. How many of you are already aware of this? Great. So the other thing is the authorization mechanism to be able to create apps using the Graph API. There are two authorization models that we are supporting. The first one is the ability to have the application that is integrating with Azure Active Directory to have certain authorization policies, but at the same time also have the ability to have the user information be taken into account. For example, you might have an inventory management application, but you want to perform role-based access to it. So it's not enough that a user has access to that inventory management application. The user must also have the right authority to be able to do certain actions in that application. The user now, when they switch their network, when their session is at risk, based on that user data, the application needs to be able to lock out that user. So the ability to have security at a granular level is possible through the app plus user authorization mechanism. But the self-service sign-up portal that I demonstrated was essentially just a simple application that is built on top of the existing B2B API, integrating with other parts of Azure Active Directory in the Graph API surface in the app-only mode. So here's an application that can be accessed by somebody. They gain access to the system and can be approved based on policies. You can say that if a user comes in from Contoso, they're automatically approved for access to these resources. When the user comes from Fabricam, they must be manually approved. What I showed you was a gmail.com user that had to be manually approved. And all of that was done pretty simply using the app-only mode. And if you want to see that portal that I demonstrated, just go to this GitHub page. And all I really did was do a single-click deploy from GitHub into that subscription, configure the settings on that page, and it's ready to go. So now you can take that and convert that into an end-to-end product that integrates with other parts of Azure, for example, logic functions and Azure applications and other things that you've got. Azure workflows work with internal users as well, Office 365. You can just create a off-the-shelf application that allows your customer to connect with their partner supply chain ecosystem, and all of the capabilities that you need are present in the directory already. So that's the advantage of using Azure Active Directory B2B, is that the learning curve for something that is super simple. You can still do a lot of customization. And when you put the immense customization capabilities that Jose was talking about, where even the login page does not need to look anything like Microsoft, and then when you look at B2B, which is essentially expanding the same trusted Microsoft system that you're using for your employees, your partners as well, you can imagine the possibilities when you put both of these together. So this is what we would like you to do as you walk out of this room to explore that. Reach out to Jose and me, and we can help you really get successful with this stuff.
Sarah, can I make a suggestion? Maybe at this point we might want to take some questions.
Yeah.
Before we go into an update of kind of what's next.
Yeah.
We've said so much.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So we have 15 minutes. Who would like to see the roadmap and roadmap of what's coming?
How many of you have questions that you would address at this point? Okay, so why don't we take the couple of questions that are here and then switch over to the roadmap. Could you please go to the mic so we can get that in the recording as well and others can hear you clearly.
You were signing in, that's really loud. You were signing in as the farmer guy?
Yeah.
And you typed in farmer. Where does that information live?
Right, so that information for the farmer guy was actually the B2B collaborator. When that self-service sign-up portal was exposed to the farmer and the farmer entered some profile information, what that application does is updates the user object, the guest user object that is created for the farmer with certain attributes. Now, these attributes are persisted in the Azure Active Directory on the right, and so other applications that integrate with Azure Active Directory can now leverage those attributes for other things, like enhancing the profile of the user or even performing authorization decisions.
Quick follow-up. There's a list of the available data points.
Identity providers, perhaps?
Attributes,
yes,
I believe.
Yes. The data points you want to collect. Mm-hmm.
Right. That is a finite list, or can you add them?
Absolutely. So both in B2C, let's just AD all up, you're able to create extended attributes for your application. When you do that in B2C, you do it, and you can do it through the portal, because that's something we always have to do.
Right.
When you want to do it on the B2B or enterprise side, you have to use Graph to do it.
Sure.
But they are, and they will be extended attributes, same on both sides.
Got it.
And really, the schema, I've seen as many as 100 attributes in a given tenant. Okay.
Thank you for that question.
For the B2C, I didn't see it available. Is there the opportunity for a user to sign up using their work account for Office 365, for instance?
So in fact, the demo that Jose just showed in B2C was that application collecting profile information and the user signing in with their Azure Active Directory account. So you could imagine a scenario where you're working with the F128 photography organization, they are your customers. Mm-hmm. F128 is used for authentication. So now you know that they are, and all the MFA and all that stuff applies. Mm-hmm. And now they've landed on your application. Now it's up to you. What do you want to do? Do you want to collect more profile information? Jose showed some options of doing that. Okay. But then essentially that is using the existing Azure Active Directory account, single signing on, and then enhancing your profile through progressive stages.
Okay. And then I had one other quick question. If a customer signs up through the B2C with like a Facebook account, and then Facebook has a scandal and they want to delete their Facebook account, is there a flow that they can go through to migrate their user account that no longer exists with that provider or will soon no longer exist and move to a different identity model?
Interesting, that's a very good question. So I'll answer it this way. I see that yes, that could be done. When I showed the identity experience framework or custom mm-hmm. policies, it would be all, and this is how it would work, right? Across Active Directory, and this is why a lot of this functionally works, a given object ID can be authenticated by a number of alternative security IDs, AltSec ID, right? So why did I say that? Because the AltSec ID is really an array, and they could be any number of different providers, different ways in which one user logs in. So in your scenario, the user who currently uses one type of account accesses that account. Sorry, you must access that account properly. And then logging with another provider, we capture that link, if you will, the AltSec ID, we record that one, and then the other one can be deleted or thrown away, right? Or just leave it there, it doesn't matter. We call that account linking, but in your scenario, you only want one account at a time.
So with that account linking, would that have to be done through the experience framework? So that would be like a custom code kind of
yes,
thing?
Okay. Exactly. So it's a matter of the customer choosing what they want to, the customer must know, obviously, what is right. there, because it wouldn't be security proper to tell them, right, what their choices are. But once they do that, B2C processes, and everything else after the authentication is just like any other user.
Actually, that excellent question, which is how does a customer switch how they choose to authenticate based on the provider that they trust? You heard the answer from the B2C side, which is that it's a customer-driven experience. Now, the same kind of question also can arise on the B2B side, right? You're working with a partner. That partner happened to be not having any Azure Active Directory tenancy or presence on day one. Now, like other companies, they have now migrated and they've got an Azure Active Directory presence. Now you may want to switch their accounts over from using whatever local account or social ID they use to actually an Azure Active Directory identity that you trust. Now in this case, you want to have the organization that is, has the relationship, the resource organization, have some amount of control on whether they want this to happen, whether they trust the other identity system enough, and the user to participate to self-service themselves. So while the switching mechanisms, the AltSec ID, the fundamentals of what the system offers would be identical across the two, but the policies that you'd put on top of it would be commensurate to the relationship that you have with the person. In the case of a customer, it's entirely self-driven, likely. In the case of a partner, it's probably a collaborative thing with the organization deciding a few things and then the partner and themselves deciding a few things. So this is how you should think of, you know, all of you who raised your hands on what is the difference between Azure AD B2C and B2B. It's essentially a set of policies that are different across the two of them. And those policies should be controlled and governed by the organization that is creating the app and the experience. So that's the quick note I wanted to add before going to this gentleman here.
Yeah, just a quick question. Right now,
come a bit closer to the mic.
Yeah. Right now, I don't think there's a way to tell if a user has redeemed their B2B invitation through the graph.
Yeah.
Do you know if that's coming soon?
So that's on our roadmap. We are definitely doing it. There are a couple of enhancements that are coming down the pipe. The first one is we are going to automatically detect whether a user has redeemed the invitation or not. And at the time of signing into the application, if the user hasn't redeemed, then we'll take them through the redemption flow, the consent flow automatically, so that the need to know whether they have redeemed or not and then reach out to them to accept the invitation, that goes away. And the second thing is the audit stream already has information on whether a user has redeemed or not. So if you're just doing this for audit purposes, then you can already query the Azure Active Directory APIs for that information. In the future, we'll also be making it available through the graph. But through all of these three different mechanisms, the friction of having to redeem an invitation will go away.
Okay.
Next question.
Hi, yes. Currently, we're my organization, we have an IDP that's federated with another service, and we have a lot of manually created accounts on an ASP.NET membership database. What we ultimately want to do is migrate from this IDP, point everything over to the Azure AD authentication. But what we want is those accounts moved over, so if, whenever they try log in with their existing credentials, they would potentially see something like reset your account or something. How would we go about that with the minimal annoyance to a lot of these client accounts?
Yeah. That's a great question, and actually that relates to the previous question that the gentleman had. How do you switch the way the user signs in with the minimal amount of impact? We have a pretty good story in the B2C side for that. I assume your question is particularly for the B2B collaboration use cases.
It would be similar to that, because it's like, I guess in this case we have SharePoint, so we're...
Yeah. Yeah.
We have this IDP connected to SharePoint, and there's we have internal accounts, but there's also these external accounts that are in an ASP.NET membership SQL database, and we want to get away from this IDP completely and just have one.
So that's a pretty broad question. So let me just give you a summary of it, and then reach out to us offline, and then we can dive into the details. So summary for the folks in the audience is that we have mechanisms where you've got various accounts that are present in your Active Directory or other